Let's take a few moments to bow before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come together today as your forever family. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the way that you have won for us our freedom. Our salvation has been bought by your precious blood. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done for us. And as we come together this morning, we do so coming out of the busyness and of this past week, where we have in our lives been pulled this way and that way with either family concerns or financial concerns or just the pressures of life with health and our well-being. And Lord, you know that as we come together today, we really do need to come into your presence just to find that place where we can hear you speak to us, and where you can form us, you can shape us. As we come together as a community, as we come before you as individuals in this community, Lord, we thank you that you have called us to gather together so that we can meet with you as your body. And Lord, I pray today that as we come into this time of gathering around your word, that you would indeed give us that your grace to be able to hear you speak to us, and that we would have ears to hear and hearts to understand all that you would have for us today from your word. And so, Lord, in this next few moments, we just quieten our hearts before you so that you can indeed just prepare us, help us to center ourselves. Lord, have you be our vision, that we might be able to see you clearly, hear you speak to us. So Lord, speak to us right now in this time of silence as we prepare our hearts for your word. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And lead us not trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, we have made it to the end of our series on the book of, or the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Today is our last installment of that letter. And we've entitled this message today, Joyful Remembrances. And, you know, as we come to the end of this message, we're going to be saying goodbye to Paul in one sense. We're saying goodbye as he is saying goodbye to the church in Philippi. And so, you know, as I was thinking about, you know, coming to the end of a letter and saying goodbye or coming to the end of a visit and saying goodbye, we have all kinds of rituals, don't we, for saying goodbye? Can you, you can think of some of them. You know, when it's time to say goodbye, we do that. Oh, it's time to say goodbye. Let's have a hug. You know, we have that hug, right? And then we step back for a moment. And we say, you know, it's been so good to be here. Oh, give it a little kiss goodbye on the cheek. And then as we walk out the door, we go to the car. We open the door to the car. We look out. We give that little wave. And then we sit in the car and we get going. And as we're driving by the house, saying we wave through the window goodbye. We say goodbye, right? We have all these rituals for saying goodbye. And, what came to my mind in that was, I like to think in sometimes in movies and songs, you know, and what, when I think of goodbye, saying goodbye, I can't help but think of the movie that I grew up watching with my mom and dad. And our family, The Sound of Music. How many of you have ever seen The Sound of Music? Oh, everybody, okay. I think everybody has seen that one. And you know, the song that really gets me every time? Is it the one that gets you too? That little tear, you know, it comes to the eyes when they sing the goodbye song, you know. They do it partway through the movie when they're rehearsing it, but then when they actually are saying it up on stage, it is so incredible. They sing that song, "So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye, adieu, adieu, to you and you and you." You know, and then one of them peels off, and then by the end of the song, the littlest one is there. "The time has come, the sun to say goodbye." And then goodbye, goodbye. She goes running off the stage, and then that it gets really intense, right? As they're heading off and they escape. Spoiler alert, for those who haven't seen The Sound of Music, I don't know who hasn't on this earth. But, spoiler alert, but it's all about saying goodbye. And it's memorable, right? Some goodbyes are really, really memorable. And especially when, we're saying goodbye in uncertain times. You know, when we have those times when we have to say goodbye and we don't know what is going to happen next. And it's never easy to say goodbye to those we love and care about deeply in those times. And this was one of those times for the Apostle Paul. And when we come to the end of this letter to the Philippians, Paul did not know what his future would be. Remember, he had in Acts, it gives us the full story when he was in Jerusalem and he had gone to Jerusalem. He was arrested. He was put in prison. And then he had to make that long trip all the way up to Rome because he appealed to the emperor for justice. You know, he appealed to them for his life. And so he had been shipped all the way to Rome, and he was under house arrest in Rome. And this is when he was writing a lot of his letters to the different churches. And this was one that he wrote from Rome to the Philippian church. And so he's facing this uncertain time because he was going to have to go before the emperor Nero in the near future. And he didn't know if he was going to live or die. If the emperor said, he would die. And so he didn't know. And so as he's coming to the end of this letter, he begins to feel the tug on his heart for his friends in Philippi, and realizing this might possibly be his last opportunity to communicate with them his heart and his passion for the gospel and for them. And I can just picture it. You know, last week or 2 weeks ago when we were doing our message on, you know, maturing joyfully, the second part, that last part of that of Philippians chapter 4 there, verse up to verse 19, he says these words, and as he's saying these words, I can just picture Paul. He says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." And, you know, he's been dictating this letter because, you know, he would have been dictating this letter to an amanuensis or a scribe, one of the men or who was working with him in his ministry. He would have dictated this letter to him, to him, and then it would have been all rolled up and the scroll would have been sent off, the parchment would have been sent off. And as he's completing this, he's just said all those words, and then I can just picture it, because, you know, really, it the letter could end right there, right? It could, because he's just said amen. And usually when we have the words amen, it means, so be it, Lord, we're done. When, you know, we're finished praying, we say amen. When you're finished writing and you say amen, that's it. But no, it wasn't. Just like that song, goodbye, goodbye. You know, this is a second goodbye from Paul. And what is significant about this? Well, at this point, I can just picture it. Paul looks at his amanuensis, his scribe, and he goes, "Give me the parchment. Give me your pen. I have last few words that I want to share with my friends, but I want to write them in my own handwriting. I want to write them personally. This is my personal word to you." Not that everything else hasn't been personal from Paul, but this is the last scrolling on the scroll that's going to be there. And they will notice, whoever is reading this, whoever receives this, will notice this has all been in one handwriting, but now it's in, oh, that's that familiar old scrawl of Paul. These must be really important words that he wants us to know. And you know, when I had just graduated from Bible college, one of the professors that I had at Ontario Bible College back in the 80s, back in the 80s again, was a professor by the name of James Vold. And Jim Vold was a big man. He was really big man. And not just in stature, like 6'4" or 6'5", and just really big. But he was big in stature in terms of teaching God's word. That's where I learned so much from this Bible teacher and scholar. He would walk into class and he would have just his Bible, his interlineary with the Greek, and he would have no notes. And for 3 hours, he would hold you just right there, going word, verse by verse, section by section. Sorry. And so, I can't do that. I gotta have my thing here. But he would just give us the word, and he lived for the word of God. And so, when I got to know him and his wife Anne, every year after that I graduated, at Christmas time, we would send him our Christmas greetings, and they would send me theirs. And I knew Anne had written this because it was all nicely typed out, everything was organized and everything. But then at the very bottom of the letter every year, there was a personal note from Jim in his illegible handwriting. it was bad, but I could always make it out. And it stuck with me to this day. His final greeting to me each year: preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. It stuck with me to this day. That's why when I get up and speak, what do I speak? I speak the word of God. I speak the message from the word of God. Why? Because I remember Jim, my Bible teacher, and how much his teaching meant to me, and what he exploded from God's word to me. So that's what I remember from his last words to me in his handwriting. So this is where we come to today in our study of this letter from Paul to the Philippians. He is giving his last words to the church, his final greeting to them in his own handwriting. He says in Philippians 4, 21 to 23, "Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, be with you and your spirit. Amen." Amen. A very personal word from Paul. You know, these words written in Paul's own hand would have been a source of joy and remembrance to his friends as they labored on for Christ. And, you know, it's really important for us to understand what Paul was trying to communicate through these words. We see it's just two short verses for us, but it's really four sentences, but three main thoughts that he wants to get across to his friends as he passes along his final greetings. The first thing that he shares with them is this. He says, "Pass along my greetings." Greetings to all the saints. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, when we started this letter, you know, the first words that came out of Paul's mouth to his scribe were these in Philippians 1:1. "To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons." He's sending his greetings. He's greeting them. And he's saying, you know, overseers and deacons, in other words, elders and deacons, I want you to do something for me. I want you to share with everyone, all the saints in Philippi, those dearly loved members of the forever family in Philippi, I want you to share with them my greetings. My greetings. Give my greetings to everyone, to all the saints. Now, what is he meaning by that? Why is he emphasizing this again? He says, you know, I want to make sure that my greetings and my letters, my letter, all the things I'm teaching you, get to everyone. Leaders, I want you to make sure that everyone gets my greetings. In other words, leaders, give everyone a great big hug for me. Give everybody a hug, a holy hug, and or was it a heavenly hug and a holy kiss? You know, that was the greeting in those days. You know, when you came and you greeted somebody, you came with open hands, open arms, and greeted them. And then, you know, you gave that holy kiss, the kiss on the side, on the cheeks. You know, some cultures still do that today. You know, when you greet somebody, you're not. And you know why you greet somebody with a handshake? It's so that they know that you don't have a gun in your hand or a sword in your hand. That's what it was. Culturally, it was to say, I'm coming to you in friendship. I'm coming to you. And he says, I want you to send my greetings. Open-handed, open greetings. I want you to pass something important to everybody. Not only my love and appreciation, but I want you to pass the peace of God. That's my greetings. You know, oftentimes Paul started his letters with grace and peace to you. He wants everybody to know the grace and the peace of God are with them. He said, so greet everyone. Make sure they know that I love them. I still love them. Make sure that everybody gets these words from me to them, the affection that I have for them, and pass the peace to them. You know, there's something about the passing of the peace within the fellowship of believers. You know, it used to be, not always now, but you know, whenever brothers and sisters were leaving a service, what did they do? They passed the peace to one another. Do you know how to do that? Who knows how to pass the peace? Oh, I see a hand back there. Do you know how we pass the peace? We say this as we're leaving somebody. May the peace of the Lord be with you. And then what's the response? And also, see, you do know how to pass the peace. All right? So when I say, may the peace of the Lord be with you, that's the response. I think we can practice that one more time. May the peace of the Lord be with you. Go in peace in Jesus' name. See, that's the kind of greeting that Paul is saying here as he's saying, you know, I want you to know that there's grace and there's peace and we can pass that between us. And isn't that so good when brothers and sisters in the Lord, when we leave each other, when we aren't going to be seeing each other for a little bit, we can pass that peace and there's nothing between us, no hostility, no anger, no bitterness, no nothing, no criticism. You know, because it's so important to greet one another with open arms. Nothing between us. You know, and why was it so important that Paul said, you know, greet everyone? Well, it's because the church in Philippi, we all know that it was a divided fellowship. There were factions growing up within the fellowship. There were people who were not getting along with each other in the fellowship. And so Paul was saying to them, pass the peace to one another. Be at peace with one another. Let anger and bitterness and hostility and whatever's dividing you, criticism, let it go. Let it go. You know, warmth and acceptance, he's saying, must be more contagious than criticism and hostility. I actually, Paul didn't say that. I'm saying that. You know, the reality is warmth and acceptance, being able to pass the peace, live at peace with one another, is more contagious than criticism and hostility. Have you ever noticed when somebody's upset or someone's taken offense with somebody within the church, within the family of God, you know, sometimes, you know, that negativity or that hostility spreads much quicker through the body than peace and harmony and contentment. Negativity and hostility spread like wildfire. It's like that old Wella Balsam commercial. You know, you tell two friends and they tell two friends and so on and so on and so on and so on and so on. That's how fractures take place within the body of Christ. It's because we aren't in the habit of passing the peace with one another. So Paul, as he's bringing his letter to a close, he says, greet everyone. Greet everyone with open arms, because it decreases the distance between us and opens up the way for unity and peace to multiply, to flourish within the body. This was, you know, Paul's first thought as he grabbed that scroll, that parchment, and started writing in his word, in his, you know, greet everybody. Oh, and in his mind, I'm thinking he really wanted everybody to be at peace, to know that peace between each other. But then the second thing that he then, you know, as he's standing there thinking, okay, what am I going to... Oh, yes, this is the other thing. I want you to know, church in Philippi, that you're not alone. That you're not alone in these hard times. You're not alone in these uncertain times. He says, brothers, the brothers who are with me send greetings to you. And all the saints who are with me send you their greetings. You know, he really wants them to understand this and have a word of encouragement that they were not alone in the battle for truth and the advancement of God's kingdom. You know, he says the brothers with Paul were standing with them in Philippi. Everybody who was in the church in Rome was standing with all the other churches that Paul was communicating with. His ministry team of Timothy, Epaphroditus, Epaphras, and so many others were constantly in prayer for the churches. He wants them to know you're not alone. There are other people praying for you. There are other churches praying for you all over the world, praying for you, praying with you. You're not alone. He says, the saints in Rome send you their greetings. And, you know, all of this, his thoughts are all around this whole principle that, you know what, it's the importance of maintaining ties with other churches, other groups of the body of Christ, all around us who share our primary purposes and have similar passions for ministry. It's such an important thing to remember that it's not just the unity of the body here in this little part of God's kingdom. It's a unity with the churches around us in the community. We're all in this together. We're not alone, says Paul. You may be struggling there in Philippi, but you've got a whole church worldwide praying for you. Resources of God at your disposal if we stay connected with one another. You know, here in this little church in Peterborough, you know, this little church fellowship, we're not alone. We're not alone standing in the gap on behalf of our city. We're not alone as a small little church in a big city. We're part of a bigger body of Christ, the Church of Peterborough. And that was evident a couple weeks ago when we, again, met with brothers and sisters from all kinds of different churches around Peterborough for a time of prayer for those with mental health issues and those who are homeless and those who are living in poverty. You know, praying for God to give us a heart of compassion and an ability to witness out in our community together as churches, as the church of God. So as Paul closes off this letter to the Philippians, he reminds them that they are not alone. That are not alone in this. And you know, we're not alone as, you know, one church here. We're part of the family of the Canadian Baptists of Ontario and Quebec, part of the Baptist Ministries of Canada. We've got a whole group of other churches that are praying for us and working with us to see the kingdom of God go forward with power. And so as Paul continues to share his thoughts with his friends, he gives them this word of encouragement. You're not alone in the battle. You're not alone. But he also gives them this word of hope. That he says, all the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. It's interesting. It's really interesting that, you know, that he includes this in his final thoughts. Because he touched on it earlier in his letter in chapter 1. But he had mentioned that the gospel was starting to spread throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. And you know, this is amazing because, you know, when you stop and think about it, when, you know, Caesar's household was the place of power in the Roman Empire. And it was also the place where, well, Nero resided in his household, and Nero was the emperor at that time, and he had a hatred for Christianity. He was one of the first emperors to start to exert pressure on Christians around the Roman world, and you know, he after the writing of Paul's letter to the Philippians and after Paul's death, Nero blamed the Christians for the burning of Rome. When Rome burned, he blamed the Christians, and that's what kind of sparked the hatred that began to spread through the Roman Empire for those who were Christians. They branded the Christians as heretics. And so, you know, this was the household that the gospel was starting to make inroads into. And so with these words, Paul is reminding the people in Philippi, his friends in Philippi, that there's a reason for hope, even in difficult times, even when it seems like it's really hard to get the gospel out there and you're getting all kinds of opposition, or you're struggling as a fellowship to keep your purposes moving forward in terms of outreach and evangelism. He says there's a reason to hope. Reason to hope. And that reason is that the message of the gospel was taking root in the Praetorian Guard, in the household, slaves, in the freedmen, and some of Caesar's own relatives were starting to be open to the gospel. So through these greetings, Paul is encouraging his friends to never lose hope. God's purposes will be fulfilled on earth as they are in heaven. There is hope that the truth of the gospel will penetrate even into the darkest strongholds of the world. You're not alone, church. You're not alone. Remember that. Remember that. God is at work. And then finally, the last thing that, you know, as Paul finishes that sentence, these sentences are packed with so much emotion, so much that Paul wants them to remember. And this final word, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And with these words, he's actually pronouncing a blessing on them. Well, it's the benediction. You know, every Sunday we have the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord. This is Paul's benediction. This is what's coming right from the heart of Paul to his friends in Philippi and comes to us as well. It's a word of encouragement to rely on God's grace. every single day of our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, rely on God's grace. It's a word of blessing to us. You know, as we look back, as this word would fall on the ears of the people, I'm sure that they would be drawn into all that Paul has been talking about from this letter. You know, these remembrances that are going to start coming to their mind, that you know, joy on the journey comes as we choose to yield to the inner and outer working of God's grace in our life. That's what this whole letter has been all about. The inner and outer working of God's grace to us in our lives. And you know, we can't help but remember from Philippians 1:21-23 that, you know, that there is joy for living. You know, and that's that joy for living comes as a gift from God to us. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you know, the writer of Ecclesiastes has said there's a time for everything and everything in its season. He says this as well. He says that that God has put eternity in our hearts, and we cannot fathom it from the beginning. But to eat and drink and find satisfaction in all your toil, this is the gift of God to us. It's a gift of grace to know that there's joy for living. And in Philippians chapter 1:22, he says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but have sufficient courage so that now and always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a grace given to have such a perspective on life, that this is a gift that God has given to us. Every day, whether we live or whether we die, we live for Christ. There's joy in that. You know, when Jesus is the central focus of our lives, nothing can steal the joy we have knowing that we are held secure by his grace. Amen? Amen. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. This is what Paul says in Romans 8:35-39. Where he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Wow. What a blessing of grace that God has poured out upon us. We are secure. We are secure in our relationship with Jesus by his grace. What a blessing. You know, and because we're secure, we can also experience, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8, that there's joy in serving, just like Jesus had joy in serving us. He said, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. He was in very nature God, but And taking the very nature of a servant and humbling himself, he was found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's how much Jesus loved us and how much he served us. We talked about that last week as we were around the table. Sacrificial servant love. Giving of ourselves to one another because Christ has loved us. There's joy in serving because Jesus graciously, joyfully modeled for us the attitude of a servant. Therefore, when we fix our eyes on him, and as we follow his path, follow his example, we too can find joy, even if it's difficult to serve and to fulfill on what we've been called, who we've been called to be in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12, 2-3 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, so we can consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart in who you're being and what God's called you to do in this world for him. That race that's marked out for you. Because as Paul says in this letter, God's grace is at work. And there's joy in submitting to the purpose, process, and plan of God in our lives. And when we do that, oh man, that grace that's been planted in us, that love that's been planted, just begins to grow. And that peace that grows as well within us. And Paul says to us in these verses, remember, these remembrances, these grace-filled remembrances. He says, I want to know Christ. And the one thing I do is forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is how I live. I live under God's grace, and I'm growing in his grace every single moment of the day. On the journey as he's forming and shaping me, growing me up to maturity in Christ. You know, our growth in Christ is evidence of God's transforming grace at work in our life. Did you know that? As we grow in God's grace, and as we get a clearer focus for living, we want to know Christ. We get a clearer sense of our personhood, who we are in Christ. And we have a clearer understanding of what's ahead for us, the road that's set out for us. It's all because we're living in God's grace, the inworking and outworking of his grace. And therefore, there's joy as we mature in Christ. Philippians 4, 8-9, where Paul reminds us, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is pure, true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And what? The God of peace will be with you. Oh, this is where Paul brings together the grace and the peace of God. You know, this is what his final greeting is. Remember, greet everyone, pass that peace, grace and peace along to everyone within the fellowship. It's so important that we live this way. With grace and peace. And you know, when we do, what we begin to recognize in ourselves and in each other is that God's fingerprints of his presence are all over our lives. The marks of his grace. Contentment, flexibility, confidence, compassion, generosity, sacrificial love. All of that is just flowing out of us. Why? Because God's grace, his handprints are all over us. His marks, the marks of Christian maturity, are evidences that God's amazing grace has taken root and made an awesome difference in each one of our lives. So with all that being said, you know, these three thoughts that Paul shares with his friends in Philippi are joyful remembrances, are meant to spark those joyful remembrances of everything that he's taught them. And so I leave with you this thought today, this one last thought. The more we yield to the inner and outer working of God's grace in our own lives, the more confident, the more joyful we will be in following Christ on the journey. You know, when we've yielded ourselves to the inner working of God in us, it starts to flow outwardly to others. God's grace meets us right where we are and then flows out to others. So it brings us to this choice that we have. You know, I talked about this. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before when we were talking about maturity, but maturity is a choice, right? Every day we have to choose. How are we going to live today? Are we going to live by what we have come to understand to be the truth that we have been given and make it a part of our life so that it isn't just, well, I'm doing this because I have to, but I'm doing this because this is who I am. This is who I am. God has his grace has formed me, shaped me, molded me, and now this is who I am. And this is how I live. As an agent of God's grace, his peace. And he says, if you're going to be a leader in the church, it's a lifestyle of grace and peace. If you're going to be a member of the body of Christ, it's a matter of embracing grace and peace and living it, passing it one to another. So how are you going to live today? As Paul says goodbye to his friends, he was concerned that they would choose to keep walking in God's direction, that they would choose to live a life soaked in God's grace and peace. And so as we come to the end of this study today, my question to you is, what is your response? What is your response? What are you going to choose? I can't choose it for you. Only you can choose. Are you going to live with open arms to one another in the body of Christ and let grace and peace be between us and nothing else? The love of Christ? Or are we going to choose to live another way? And when I think of making choices, it comes back to that word from Joshua way back in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were coming into the promised land. They'd done a little bit of work there. They had been working away, and Joshua says, you know, hey everybody, you know, I'm going to be departing from here soon like Moses did, but I just want to leave this before you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Make the choice. It's up to you. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will choose to live with grace and peace and grow up to maturity in Christ. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word that reminds us, oh Lord, these joyful reminders from Paul's final words to his friends in Philippi. Greet one another. Know that you're not alone. Rely on God's grace and peace. Oh, these are words to live by. And so, Lord, I just pray that each one of us today would just look into each one of our hearts and make that choice every day when we get up to put on grace and peace as our way of being, so that you might be able to grow in us your love, your understanding, the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Lord, it's so important for us as a body of Christ to get these things and really not just know them, but but live them. So Lord, help us. Help us when we fall. Help us when we fail. Help us to know that we can get ourselves back up with your strength, with your encouragement. You'll lift us up when we call out to you. And you will transform us. You will change us more and more into the image of Christ so that we can live in unity and peace with one another. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for all your blessings to us. In Jesus' name.